never failing. Let mercy fall on me. And everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior.
Children's Church is leaving the building. While they're leaving, let me tell you this, that if you'll come Wednesday night, we're having something else happen that's really special. We got two people that's been living together for a long time. Ron's just grinning back there. They're going to share their marriage vows again. Now, I've done this in the past for people who have been married a lot of years. Sometimes it's 50 or more years, but they just want to renew their vows to each other. And it's really a special thing to see people do that. And so Linda and Ron, Wednesday night after the service, are going to be doing that. Now, if you'll come, they're going to have steak and baked potato and stuff over at the fellowship hall. And they're going to give away a free trip to Disney. Well, we know all that's not happening, right, Linda? Well, it won't happen. But she says living with Ron all these years has been like a trip to Disney. Ron waits till later to say what he wants to say, believe me. But come Wednesday night and we'll share that moment with Ron and Linda. Okay, I know that if you're in Tom's Sunday school class on Sunday morning, you're in the book of Revelation. And some time ago, you heard about the letters to the churches, right? Say right. Because if you don't, Tom's going to say, well, they didn't listen. Yes, you did. And I know that Tom covers it very well. And if you may, this may be a repeat for you, but I don't think so. I think what I'm going to do will give you some insight as to why the church is the way it is. Now, when we say the church, we're not talking necessarily about the church of the living God. You see, Paul started a lot of churches in his time in the New Testament. And all of these churches are not listed in the book of Revelation, but the seven churches that represent the church age are listed there. And the reason he listed those churches is because he wasn't the author. He was a person who penned. The author of the Bible is God the Holy Spirit. He is the author. Other people were penmen. They wrote down what the Holy Spirit gave them to write. And I believe that God protected His Word and still protects His Word. So I'm going to go through these, and today I'm only going to cover two of them because of our time restraints. But I'm going to cover two of them, and you're going to understand why people are the way they are. Now, you know, church can be somebody you can criticize, or it can be somebody that you can lift up and say, I love these people and I love being there. Or you might be one of those people who have negative thoughts. It's okay either way how you feel, but until you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you have an understanding of why people in churches are the way they are, then you're not going to understand the whole picture. So what we want to try to do is to understand the whole picture. That's why he told us to read and study the Word of God so that we would know what to expect. You see, these seven churches that he lists here allow us to understand why we are where we are. And when I give you the first two, the first church was like in 70 A.D., Now, John didn't write this until 96 A.D., but that first church, he wrote down what their good points were and what their bad points were. And he did this because God told him how to do this. Well, he also wrote about the other church ages, and he didn't understand what it would be like today in this age that we live in. But you see, God, the Holy Spirit, told him what to write. And so from one church until the seventh church, which the seventh church is in the age that we're in now, all through those churches, there's a thing that ties them together. In other words, they don't just go through one church age and then it drops off and say, well, that's all the problems they had and we won't have to deal with them anymore. What he's saying is that the people who had problems in that first church age, we still have them today because they're all tied together. One church age after the other. So I'm just going to give you a few points here. These are the first things I'll say to you will be teaching points, really, so that you can understand maybe why John wrote what he wrote in 96 A.D. He wrote what he wrote because the Holy Spirit told him to write the things which he saw and heard. Now, the things that he saw and heard were the spiritual things that he saw that the Holy Spirit allowed him to see. Revelation, when folks talk about the book of Revelation, that's not actually the end of that title. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not just a revealing of anything. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ. And so that's why it's such a powerful book. And some folks shy away from it because they don't understand everything that's in it. And but it's good to read. I'm so thankful that Tom's going back through the book of Revelation again because it's so important that you know about it. He says, these are the things which are. And at that point in time, that first church age was happening. But they also were as good as happening in the other church ages then also. Because what God sees and knows already is. It doesn't matter if it's in the future. If God knows it, sees it, and hears it, and we get it, it's already happened. If God's made a promise that hasn't come to fruition with you yet, it will. It will happen. And every promise that God has ever made to his church or to anyone else, it will happen. It'll happen just like he said it would. So don't worry about that. It's as though it already has happened. It's a spiritual history. These seven churches are a spiritual history of the church written from 96 A.D. on up until the taking out of the church that we will experience at some time in the future. The messages to the seven churches were not open to the early church in the New Testament, and there was a reason for that, was because there had to be some time go by so that what was required for the Holy Church was for a history to develop in the church. So they weren't told what was going on here, but they knew later on. The letters in this book of Revelation describe the condition in John's day and then on into the day that we have here. There was 11 in the churches from the very beginning on until now. And this leaven is not good. As we know, leaven is that thing that works inside that hurts. Churches. You know, sometimes we think that it's what people do outwardly that hurts the church. It's not necessarily what people do outwardly that hurts the church. It is what's happening inwardly that hurts the church. And now, grant you that some of the things that are happening inwardly, the things that you believe and feel so deeply, if those go haywire, we may do some things outwardly that could hurt. But it's not always the things that hurt that are done outside that do the most hurt. It's those things that go inwardly. That's why we have these letters to the churches, is so that we can understand that what their problem was then wasn't the things they did or didn't do, it was the way they were inside. It was the things they were believing and feeling on the inside. So that leaven did create some problems in their spiritual lives. Each church period characterized here will connect, and I'll connect them as we go through. Today you're only going to get two of these, and as we go along through the whole seven, I will connect those churches so you can see that. So what this was doing and what it's doing today is showing the visible church, the church that you and I see, even though we believe that there is one church, and that is the church of the living God. When you repent of your sin of unbelief and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, something happens at that point in time. You become a believer in the church of the living God. You don't become a believer in the Church of Liberty Fellowship. This is not where it all happens. It all happens in the Church of the Living God. They must run out of space in children's church. Or that they wanted us to be blessed with their presence. Isaiah will tell you everything. So we have a visible church today, but we also have an invisible church. And that's that church that you joined when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you join Liberty Fellowship Church, either by commitment or you want your book on the roll as a member, whichever way you want to do it, you commit either way, and you say, that's where I want to be because I love that church. I love what they preach. I love what they teach. I love the singing, and I want to be a part of that group of people. But the church that really counts is that church of the living God. Now, let's take a look at the church of Ephesus, and I'm just going to take the verse of Scripture and share them with you so that we can get started today, and next Sunday we'll get back into it. In the very first verse, there is a salutation to the church, and here's what it says. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in the right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And we know who that was. You know that to be Jesus, right? So he is revealing Jesus here in these things. But in the church of Ephesus, that's what he said to them. But that's not necessarily the important parts of this thing. He goes on to commend them in verse 2. And here's some things he commends him about. And I would have to say that that's the truth here at Liberty Fellowship Church. That's why we're connecting these things. Here's what he commends him for. He commends them for their works. We know that we're not saved by works. We know that we can't do enough stuff so that God says, okay, you're really good at what you do, and you do a lot, and so you can now call yourself a saved person. That's not how this works. Works come after your belief for salvation. But he was commending them for their works. And I've noticed how this church works together. And by the way, that's the key, together. How this church works together. How that we labor in the things that need to be done. How sometimes, I put that word in real quickly, that we are patient with each other, with the leadership of Liberty Fellowship. You've got to be patient from here on into any other boards or whatever. You got to be patient because we're all the same. It's just that if someone takes a role in the church to be a part of it, they just see that God wants them to work in that. Doesn't make them any more or any less or anything than the rest. It just means that's where they are. And so I would say be patient with each other, because one of the things he taught us, it's important. So he said, I recognize your patience. I recognize that you hate evil. And every one of us in here would say we hate evil. But he was recognizing that. And the fact that they hated evil, he went on to say, and I recognize that you investigate. He didn't use the word investigate, but that's my word here. That you investigate the apostles with another doctrine that has slipped in. And by the way, when you go back and read Ephesians, you'll find out that he warned them that people would sneak into the congregation of people and be false prophets in their congregation. And here he's just going on to say, I recognize the fact that you were so conscientious about these things that you investigated these lying, he used the word liars. God called them liars. They came into their congregation and were saying things that weren't true, and so that makes you a liar. And so he said, I appreciate the fact that you investigated these things, and you went on. And they labored. He said, I appreciate the fact that you labor for my name's sake. And I would have to say that we try as best we can here to recognize the fact that what we do is for his name's sake. It's all for the glory of God. And we would all say that. Man, that sounds like a great church, doesn't it? Sounds like a church I want to be a part of. Can I belong here? It sounds like a church I want to be a part of. And what a church family this is. But did I say that too loud? But you see, that word separates everything else. So when he did that, here's what happened. He said, but I have a complaint. Now you'd think that after saying all those nice things, there wouldn't be anything negative to be said about the church, right? But there is. because his complaint didn't have anything to do with their works and their labor and things. What his complaint was that you have left your first love. That was his complaint. Now, leaving your first love has nothing to do with how many things you do in the church. And the pastor would be the very first one to say, get involved, do some things, you know, help. We have had a young lady go down and start helping Judy today. We had another young lady go into the nursery today to see how things happen in the nursery. If you would like to do work in any capacity, we want you to do that. And I say, please get involved and work. But that's not the most important thing. If we don't work with a love for the cause of Christ in us, it's not going to be worth anything. Don't you know that little Danny, he went into Judy's class today and he was so happy to be there. Don't you know that we need to teach them that love is the most important thing? It's not in the things you do, it's in the love that we have for the Lord and the love that he has for us. So he says, I have a complaint. You've left your first love. Now, I don't know if you can say today, I have made a decision that Jesus Christ is going to be my Savior and I'm going to be one of his children. When you made that decision, you remember what happened to you. It was a commitment that you'll never make another one like it. Because you're actually committing yourself to him and saying, I just want to please you, Lord. Because I realize what you did for me, that you gave your life on an old rugged cross. You died so that I could live. How much better does it get that someone would die so that you could live? And we'd say, Lord, I want to just recognize to this world how wonderful you are to me. Well, when I got saved, I remember wanting to tell everybody I came in contact with that I gave my life to the Lord and that I realized he loved me and that day I fell in love with him. And I want to tell others that you too can fall in love with him. He said, but I have a complaint. You've left your first love. Now, if you've been saved a lot of years, you'll say, I remember. Memory is a good thing. I remember when I got saved how people looked to me, how much I wanted to work and do things for the Lord because of what he had done for me. And you were just so involved in pleasing the Lord. Remember? And you were involved in pleasing him because you loved him. And it was that first love, that initial love. And it's so good, isn't it, to have that initial love for another person. And that other person was Jesus Christ. And we actually fell in love with him. He said, but I got a problem with you. You've left your first love. You don't feel like you used to feel. Now, why do people not feel the way they used to feel? I'm sure that right now you just put up a list in your brain, right? Here are the things that kill a love. Here are the things that causes you to leave your first love. Are you making the list? See, I don't have to make one for you because we all know, don't we? And if I were to even start the list by telling you what I believe makes you leave that first love, I would probably leave out the one thing you believe causes a person not to feel the way they used to feel. So if some of those things that you're making that list of, attach them to how you felt about the Lord and see if those things that you're thinking right now, see if you've relaxed those things. Because, and when I say relaxed, it wasn't by accident that I use the word relaxed, because I never knew this before until I began to study for this. The word Ephesus, the word itself means to let go or to relax. Now, did you add anything to your list when I said that? Because that's what he said. He said, here's what it means. It means to let go or to relax. Have we relaxed how we feel about the Lord for what he did for us? Have we let go? Have we let go of some things that were so important to us when we first gave our heart and life to the Lord? Have we let go of some of those things? If we have, that's why we've left our first love. If we have relaxed some of those things that meant so much to us, that's where he's at. We don't use this word a whole lot because we think it belongs to a Greek or some other, but Orthodox. We just don't use it a lot, but Orthodox just means we've got it all figured out. We know how it is on paper. I'm putting it in plain terms. I'm laying the fodder down where the calf can get to it. When we use the word Orthodox, sometimes it just jumps right on out there, and I don't care. In the I don't care, you know, Jimmy crack corn, and I don't care. So we probably don't care about the word Orthodox, but we do care about that we know all the basics for having and running a church, and we have it all figured out. We're just really organized in how we do this stuff. But what we are is we're orthodoxy on ice. When you don't have the warmth of the Spirit of God that you had when you first accepted him as Savior, it's ice. From that point of time, it's ice. And when somebody says, well, they're just cold toward me, what do you think they mean? That means they're cold toward you. That means there's an ice factor there. That means they have left something that they used to have. That means it's just simply not there. Does that mean you can't go back to it? No, he didn't say lost. He didn't say they've lost your first love. He said you've left it. Now, when you leave it, you can go back to it. Amen? Now, I hear people all the time say, no, I can't go back. Oh, yes, you can if you want to. Truth? Amen. Truth. It's a truth. And he gave us away. He said, little children, I don't want you to... I knew somebody knew that word. I don't want you to sin, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. You can go back to him. You can go back to him and say, God, forgive me. I want to be back in the love relationship that I had from the very beginning, and I want to be there. So he says to them, you've left your first love. Now you got to do something about it. They hated that. He went on to say, I know you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. But see, their problem was not only did they hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, they didn't do anything about their hate for the person who was a Nicolaitan. The deeds of the Nicolaitans is one thing, but he said, I don't mind you hating the deeds of the Nicolaitans. If it's bad, you hate it. But he said, you got to love the Nicolaitans. You got to love the people. We may talk about drugs and alcohol. We may talk about the things that are bad in our society. But folks, we got to love the alcoholic. We got to love the drug addict. We got to love everybody who has an issue with life that we don't agree with, and it doesn't touch our life the same way. We got to love them because he is that. God is love. God is love. And if when you got saved, you received that Spirit in you, and it should make a difference. If I sound passionate about that, that's because I am. We've got to work on our love life. Amen? We got to. He said, please, that's what the problem in the church is, that you've left your first love. Get back to it. Work on it. It's worth working at. I went on to look at left your first love up, and what it means is it's dried up. Dried up. I don't want to be a dried up Christian, do you? I don't. And I know how to do that. You stay in the lubrication of the Word of God. Guarantee you it'll help. The oil by the Holy Spirit, yeah, it'll work, I tell you. But here was the promise he made to them. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He just wants to us to have a good life here, love each other, and move right on in. Let me tell you this, then I'm going to move right on out. Actually, I'll cover this next Sunday if you want to come back to the Church of Smyrna, because there's so many important things in here that I need to do, that I need to cover. I can't cover it, but covered the first one, didn't we? I feel successful there. Okay, make me feel successful. We covered the first one. Next one is Smyrna, and if you want to come back, we'll cover that one and another one next week. We're going to cover them all, because you're going to know why we are the way we are. I want to know, don't you? Yeah, and the church at Smyrna, they were poor yet rich. They were poor yet rich. Now, if you want to know what that all means, you got to come back next Sunday. But isn't God good to let us know where we stand with Him, where we need to be? He is. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for this message. I thank you, Lord, that you're